Hey y'all, what's up? It is your girl, Christ-led Diva.
Hey y'all, it's Yvonne. How are you guys doing today?
We are so happy to be with you guys for episode number four. Now, I'm going to stop counting the episodes after episode number four because I'm a loose track, okay? So after today, I won't be announcing what episode we on. Y'all just gonna know, okay? Because y'all following us now on all the major podcast platforms. That would be Apple, Amazon Music, Spotify, iHeartRadio. What other ones are we on, Yvonne?
I mean, you kind of hit all the major ones. So by this time, though, they should be following us. And all you have to do is search us in whatever podcast platform that you're on and come join the ride with us. It's been interesting.
Yes, it has been, and you guys are definitely in for a treat today because we're going to do things a little different today, and just know that we're going to shake things up. So you never know what we're going to talk about each week, so you definitely want to follow us on all the major platforms, even on the little smaller rinky-dink platforms, Anchor FM. I can't think of the other smaller ones, but follow us there. Because you do not want to miss any of what we have to share. Before we get started in today's episode, I of course want to thank all of our followers, all of our listeners, all of those that have given us, positive feedback that you guys have told us you're enjoying what you're hearing as far as the content that we're sharing, the wisdom that we're sharing, the scriptures that we're sharing. So that's all very encouraging. So shout out to all of our listeners, all of our audience. I'm telling you, there's so much more to come. Anything you want to add to that?
Amen. No, I'm excited for, how we're going to venture off into new avenues and things like that. It's only the beginning. The word we just heard tonight is going to be so many levels to this. And we just want to do the work of the Lord. That's all we're doing. It's not about us getting the glory. We always do this. If we can save marriages, give insight, encouragement, we're just doing this all for the work of the Lord. So the praise
Amen.
isn't on us, the praise is on Lord, the spotlight's on Jesus.
Yes, hallelujah.
Because that's how we live our life too, you guys. We don't
That's
just do
how
this
we
for show.
roll.
This is how we roll. We roll. We have a good time. We some
Yes.
crazy Christian girls, let me get a bumper sticker. This crazy Christian girl, no.
Oh, Lord. I'm driving behind her, like, let me move over to the next lane.
No, but just because you love the Lord, that does not mean you have to be stuffy and so reserved,
Oh, yes.
As long as you have the love for Jesus in your heart and you're coming from a good place, He wants us to enjoy, the this the earth and stuff while we're here, enjoy the
Amen.
fruits of our labor that He's given us the resources to enjoy this life. So, yeah.
Yes, and we
So
want to
I'm
have the
excited.
joy of the Lord within us as Christians.
Amen.
Nobody wants to be around a stuffy Christian. I know I sure don't. I don't want to be
No.
around a stuffy religious Christian. I want
Yes.
to be around a Christian that truly loves the Lord. You can see it with their life. They have joy. They have laughter. They have peace. They have understanding.
They don't have a
Those are the
judgment
types.
against others,
Yes.
and of course, as Christians, we're supposed to, hold ourselves to a different standard to what the secular world is, right? Of course,
Yep, absolutely.
But to show each other grace and not judgment, and instead of
Yeah.
tearing me down, help build me up, give me encouragement,
Amen.
help me in my flaws that you see, like don't just talk about me behind my back, lift me up,
Amen. Amen to
and that's
that.
just what it is. Yeah, that's just I tell my son all the time, don't let people kick you in your face, and you already know they ain't no good. My son be moving
Yeah.
around now, he does not have time, and that's
Yeah.
the thing. It's like we don't have time for people to play these games with our lives. We just don't. So.
Yeah, and there it is possible to correct in love, meaning that I always tell my sissy or whatever that if you see me acting out of character, if you see me backsliding, going back to doing the things that I was doing when I was in the world, knowing how I've been living my life since I've been following Christ, if you're seeing a change in my behavior, if you love me, You will, as the Bible says, feed my sheep. You will remind me that, hey, what's up, sis? This ain't you. This isn't something that, you left that life. That's what a person does in love that's following
In
Christ. So
love.
we're going to be all that in some to all of
Awesome.
all of our listeners and followers on this podcast. So
Because
episode
we want to
number
build
four.
relationships too. We want to build good relationships, you know.
We
We want to
do.
build good relationships, yeah.
We absolutely do. So episode number four, we're calling this segment Keeping It 100. Now, I didn't say 100. I say Keeping It 100. 100. We're calling this segment the Grown Women Q&A. Grown Women Q&A, which means you guys ask the question where you keep it 100% honest about what you want to know. And we'll keep it 100% honest and how we respond. Straight up, no chaser. Now, some will say, well, that's very worldly to say that. What do you mean, straight up, no chaser? That means that we're going to give it the honest truth just bluntly. We're not going to sugarcoat it. We're just going to give it bluntly. Obviously, there's not going to be any judgment, anything like that. Everything that we say, to give it from the perspective of a Christian perspective, because this is a Christian podcast. And we're also going to share our own life experiences when addressing these questions. So if you would like to submit a comment or a question topic for us to discuss on the air, make sure you email us at Christ Led Diva. So just like Christ Led Diva at gmail.com. And once you email us your question, comment or topic to discuss, we will let you know what date your question will be discussed on this Making It Last Forever Christian Marriage Podcast. So, Yvonne, here we go. I sent
I'm
you
excited about the Q&A. I can't believe I like that we're going to be implementing these. This is going to be awesome. A little special episode.
yes,
I love
and
it.
so Yvonne, really quickly, I want to share with the audience why we're doing this, why we're going to be doing these segments sporadically. The reason that we're doing this is because me and Yvonne, we were talking and we were discussing that what a woman goes through, whether they're married or they're, courting, dating, what have you, it's not unique for the most part. What one woman goes through, and I think we said this on episode one, I think we touched on this briefly in episode one, Yvonne, but what a woman goes through, 9 times out of 10, there are probably like 4 or 5, 6 other women that are going through the same thing. But us as women, we don't always talk about what we're going through. You know what I mean? So I feel like this segment is going to be an opportunity to bring to the light some of the concerns and questions that women have about dating, courting, and or marriage. And sharing the question with the broader audience so that those that are listening, if you have similar questions or experiences, you know that you're not out there by yourself. You're not out there alone. And hopefully you'll hear something as we respond to these questions or concerns that are brought to us that will be a blessing to you. Okay, Eva. All right. So, Yvonne, I'm going to let you pick the first one. And it is okay to release the person's name if they, if they provided their name.
This one is kind of okay. Okay, here we go. She says her name is Sabrina. Sorry, you guys. There's so many good ones. It's like, oh my goodness. I was reading through, like, how do I even start? Okay. It is. It's like, I got 4 pages. So her name is Sabrina. And she says, how do you tell a guy you don't want to continue to pursue a relationship with him? I've been getting to know this nice guy about a month and a half of talking and a couple of dates. I'm starting to feel disinterested, not just in him, but overall in dating. I realize I just want to be single for a while, maybe, but how do I break the news without hurting his feelings?
Yvonne, I'm
You
gonna let you
know,
have that one.
let listen. Okay. Now I said something. This, okay. I'm gonna just, you can't spare someone else's feelings if you feel it in your heart that you're not ready to be in a relationship. I'm sorry. If you are at the point to where is dating is just not for you right now, and maybe you need to get some things together for yourself, and maybe you're not seeing the way that your life is going or where you are with your goals and your admiration, your and things like that. It's okay to end things before they go too far. She's only a month and a half in. So at this point, to me, this is like a perfect time to be like, this isn't working for me, especially if we're, you're living a Christian lifestyle and we were talking about that dating versus courting situation. Now, this is kind of what I'm talking about. After a month and a half, if I'm realizing that this is not working for me, I'm not going to play any games and keep on holding on to this person if I know in my heart this is not what I want to do. So I would just tell her, is sit down, we're all grown, have a conversation. We're only a month and a half in, and I realize I'm not ready to be dating. I'm not looking for anything. I just want to work on myself, figure out who I am, and then maybe, when I'm ready, maybe I'll find you. Maybe it's our time then, but it might not be. So that's kind of how I would, break the news to this guy. And if his feelings get hurt, listen, ladies, I'm sorry. I can't worry about somebody else's feelings to protect my, to protect their feelings if I'm feeling a certain way. You can have empathy, like, oh my God, I feel bad, but I shouldn't be having to worry about breaking his feelings. And maybe that's just how I'm made, but that's kind of how I would do
No, I
it.
agree. I was actually looking up this scripture. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21. It says, "For we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man." So it says, "We are taking pains to do what is right." To Yvonne's point, sometimes it is going to, delivering truth is going to sometimes be
It's going to
painful.
hurt.
It's not always going to be easy. So I think, just really quickly touching on this, because I know there's so many we probably want to get to tonight, and we're not going to be able to get to all of them. But just really quickly, just giving my two cents on this, I just say be honest,
You have to.
just be honest, like Yvonne said about where you're at. And maybe in the future, your feelings will change because it sounds like right now you're not interested in dating at all. You just want to focus on yourself. And that's not a bad thing. It's
It's not.
always good. And Yvonne had, briefly touched on that we were talking about this dating courting thing. That's going to be next week's episode. So y'all just come back, okay? We're going to be talking about that whole dating courting thing. But, in our sidebar conversation about the dating courting episode that we're going to present next week, we were talking about, women getting into relationships and women not being whole. Right. There's some things like that they need to work on. There's some baggage that they're still carrying, some relationship, past relationship issues that they need to tie up and sever. There's still some things that they haven't, ended with that last relationship. It's important to do all of that, ladies, before jumping into a new relationship. So, Sabrina, I commend you if you just want to take time to focus on you. But my advice would be to just be honest and understand it may hurt him, but ultimately, you rather do it the right way now and be honest versus string this person along and then, make them believe that. Something's developing out of this relationship that it really isn't, and then down the road hurting them even more.
And I'm glad that she caught it a month and a half in, to know like, hey, yeah, this isn't for me. Maybe she did think, she was ready to be dating. Who knows what happened, before this guy. Maybe she thought she was over like past hurt, or she thought that she dealt with something, or and maybe something in a relationship triggered her. And she's like, you know what? I'm not ready, And she even said, she said, they took in a couple dates and she's starting to feel disinterested. That means she's withdrawing. So she's not 100% vested in. So yeah, she just, I'm glad that she pulled it, she's pulling it a month and a half in, And instead of 6 months down the line, and he's talking about, I want you to be my mother, and she's packing her bags and leaving.
She's like, nah, homie,
No,
I ain't
I'm
gonna be able to
good.
meet your mama. Not
I'm
today,
not,
tomorrow,
not
or
today.
next week. I can't meet your mama.
No, Or you come back from work and she's already gone. Like, what the heck? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So good job, Sabrina, noticing. And that she's aware, she's at a point too where she's aware. See, a lot of women also aren't aware when it's that time. So I'm glad that she knows she's aware of where she is for having a relationship. So that's cool.
That is cool.
All
Okay.
right, you got the next one.
Okay, so I'm going to touch on Alexa really quick and then I'm going to move on. So Alexa's question is, does anybody have any views on dating, courting? I'm
Of
in need
course
of
you
some
would pick.
biblical insight.
I can't stand you. You know what? I
No, you
thought
know
you
what?
said next week.
And that's what I'm going to say. Alexa, just listen next week. Everybody that wants you want to know about our views on dating and courting, and you want some scripture to back that, come back next week and probably the
Yeah.
week after that. Because this
Yeah.
episode next week is going to be so loaded. Yvonne and I talked about it. It's going to have to be divided in multiple
It's so many,
episodes.
yeah, it's so many layers to this
Oh,
thing.
because there's some layers to that. There's levels to that thing.
Level to
So
this thing.
Alexa, yeah, Alexa, just stay tuned, come back. Okay, so I'm actually going to move on to Avina. I think I'm saying her name correctly, Avina. She says, "Hey guys, please pray for my marriage. My husband and I had a huge fight a couple days ago, and we haven't spoken. I tried to speak to him, but he says all hope for our marriage is gone. The devil is a liar. I'm
You better
not
preach
ready
it,
to give
girl.
up on our marriage. I love this man. He's my best friend. Please, please pray for my marriage. Thank you." So this is not a question. This is just more of a statement where she's asking for prayer. And so I just want us to encourage her, Yvonne, if that's okay, and give her some advice. So, Avina, first and foremost, we are praying for your marriage. And you're right, the devil is a
Yeah,
lie.
the devil is a liar.
I don't know why you two had the huge fight that you had, and truthfully, that's none of my business. But the silence between the two of you is what the devil is using to fuel separating you. So you're going to have a conversation with your husband. And even if you have to be the one to put on your big girl panties, right?
Oh my God,
And,
yeah.
go and say, "Hey, we need to talk because I'm not ready." And just put it, make it plain. I'm not ready to give up on our marriage. I won't give up on our marriage. And I don't know how long you two have been married. I don't know if you guys have had children, or you guys are thinking about starting a family. None of that even matters. If you're willing to stay in the fight, let him know,
Yeah.
because he may be saying all hope for your marriage is gone because he thinks you're not willing to fight for it. And a man needs to have that confidence, and they need to have that assurance that the woman that they married is in it for the long haul. And one thing that the Bible has said is, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And that's something that I try to remember when my husband and I get into our little spats, because I don't call them arguments, I call them disagreements. When we get into our disagreements, our little spats, and I get upset, I remember that scripture, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And the reason I believe that the Lord is telling us that is because the enemy uses that silence between each other to separate us, to pull us apart. So, Avina, definitely I'm praying for you. Yvonne, I don't know. I know you have something great to add to that, so I'm going to give you the floor.
Well, when she said, my husband and I had a huge fight a couple days ago, we haven't spoken. Before me and my husband changed the dynamics of our relationship, this was totally us. We will have a fight. There will be silence for 5 days. And I came to the conclusion, like, if no one says anything, I can see this going a horrible way, right? So of course, I had to put my big girl panties on, and we had to go and have a conversation. And without going into the like the last, big argument we had, like maybe it was like 5, 6 years ago, when we had one of the biggest arguments we had, when we came to talk, and we both agreed, like, we can't keep doing it like this anymore. Now, I'm not saying this is what they're doing like this, but we had an agreement, like, we have to get off this merry-go-round, which means the cycle of what we always do: fight, not talk 5 days, then come back to the table and discuss and see. Because then what happens is, once there's silence and days go by, you have now created these scenarios in your head, right? And
That's good.
so what happens is, he ain't trying to talk to me anyway. He ain't came to talk for 3 days. Why do I gotta go over there and speak to him? He's the one that did it. And so, like you said, the enemy comes in and he plays. And Bishop Avery said it tonight when he said he goes in and create these imaginary scenarios that it hasn't even happened, that you're putting in your head. And now the devil has now made your head his playground, and he has now called distance between you and your husband, to where this issue could have been resolved 5 days ago. But because ego has now got in the way, because no one wants to come and say we're wrong, our marriage is now falling apart. So,
And that's what exactly you really broke down what I meant, Yvonne, when I said the devil plays on that silence. He uses that silence to further separate because of the midst of that silence, you are absolutely correct. And we heard some good words tonight, y'all. So we ready. We filled with the Holy Spirit. But the enemy will use that silence to, insert those false thoughts that actually have no merit.
Exactly. And so, Avina, my advice to you is, you and your husband come together and come to agreement. If this is a scenario that happens all the time, break it down and rebuild how you communicate, because you don't want to keep communicating this way, because you don't want the enemy thinking he has the upper hand. So we'll be praying for your marriage, but if this is something that happens all the time, change the dynamic of it. Change the dynamic on it. Tell your husband, we're not going to do this no more. We're getting off this merry-go-round of going in circles. Every time this thing happens, we're not doing this anymore. And somebody needs to change the direction when this happens.
I was actually going to say that that was perfect segue, actually, Yvonne, because I was just about to speak on that. I was listening to a sermon by Pastor Taffy Dollar. She's a pastor in Atlanta. Her husband's Pastor Creflo Dollar. And she was talking about when you're in a disagreement or an argument with your husband, instead of asking God to change him, ask God to reveal in you what needs to be addressed. And when I heard that sermon, Yvonne, that changed my life. She said, instead of praying for your husband, pray for yourself. Pray for you. Because sometimes, ladies, we are the problem. Sometimes we have a hard time communicating our thoughts or communicating our feelings. Sometimes we handle. I know I was bad at that. We don't listen very well. We want to be heard, but then we don't want to listen. You know what I mean? There's a scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 and 7, Avina, that I want to leave with you. And this was a scripture that was read at our wedding, my husband and I's wedding. And it's a scripture that I say try because I'm human, I'm flesh, but I try to abide by and remember in the times when I get overheated with my husband. It says, love is patient, which is reminding me to be patient. Love is kind. It's reminding me to always be kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. So when I want to be quick with my tongue and say things that I know I shouldn't say to him, I'm reminded I shouldn't be rude. Love is not rude. It does not insist on its own way. Every time I have a situation or a spat with my husband, it shouldn't end with me getting my way. It is not irritable or resentful. Everything shouldn't set me off. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Love, the Bible says, covers a multitude of sin. So God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Love covers a multitude of things. It believes all things, it hopes all things, and it endures all things. If you truly love your husband, you will have hope for your marriage. If you truly love your husband, you will believe that your marriage can work. If you truly love your husband, you'll be willing to stand it in thick through thin, just like your vow said, to make it work. And that's something, again, audience, I stand on this scripture because it reminds me when people say, well, what is love? Love is an emotion. No, this is the definition of love right here,
Love's an
according to
action.
God. Love is an action. And he's breaking down in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, exactly what that action does and does not look like. So we were praying for you, Avina. We'll
Yeah, we
move on to the
will.
next one for sure.
Yeah. Was that you that
That
picked
was
that
me.
one? Okay. Okay. So I'm picking this one. I'm just like, okay. So this one says fan. So is she a fan or just what's her name? I don't
Her
know.
name's Fan.
Okay. Okay, so she says, I need advice. I have my longtime friend, 15 plus years. She's
Oh,
very
Lord.
curious about who I'm dating or sleep with. She doesn't like that I keep some things private. Right now, I'm trying to practice abstinence until God sends me the right one. But even that, I don't want to explain to her because she is very concerned about my dating life for some reason. That part of my life, she act like I own her. I own her every details. I owe her, it must be every details. I always been a private person. I feel like in friendship we have to mind our business sometimes. Ooh. You know what screams out to me? If we had this and
Episode two.
this, yes, boundaries, baby, boundaries. Put that friend in a boundary box and let her know. Okay, go ahead. I went ahead on that one. You go ahead and do the next one.
No, I was ready to hear what you had to say.
Okay.
Was ready to hear what you were going to say. Go ahead, girl.
Okay. So my thing is when it comes to longtime friends, I feel like they think that they deserve this space in your life to where they think that they deserve to know everything. The devil is a lie. Because I love my sister. I'm loving doing ministry with her, but she doesn't know everything about my life. I don't tell her everything because some things are
And
private and
thank
they're
God.
mine. And vice versa with her. I don't need to know. Some things are private and they're between her and her husband, just like me and my husband. And then some of the personal things that I don't want to share. Fan, you don't have to share every aspect of your life with your friend. Now, you're saying that it's her. My concern is that you haven't put your boundaries in place with her. Because if you say here that she's always wants to know about your dating life and parts of your life, like she wants to know every detail. Have you been sharing all of this? I understand you also say that I've always been a private person. I feel like in friendship we have to mind our own business sometimes. But if you've always been a private person, why does she feel like that she can come and say these things to you? Because I'm just saying from experience from my friends, the boundaries that I've set, some things are off limits that you know not to even ask me because I'm not going to share. So, I will have a sit down conversation with her for real, and just let her know, I love you. 15 years we've been together for a long time, but some of the things I choose to keep private, respect that. If you love me and respect the decisions that I've made and the things that I share with you, it's my choice. You don't have to know everything about who I'm dating or even who I'm, she said, even who I'm sleeping with. That's none of your business. That's none of none of your business. And I'm just being honest, a fan to your friend, that's none of her business. If you choose to share, it's one thing, but if she's asking, she's crossing the line because it's none of her business.
I think about that Genuine song, ain't none of your friend's business.
It isn't. And even when I have, you know, conversations with my friends, there's just certain things that you should know not to ask. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to go and deep dive into their personal life if they have not brought it up in conversation. If they not yet have opened up that door in, you know, in the conversation that we're having, then I'm not just going to go out the blue, like, girl, who are you sleeping with these days? Absolutely not.
Like, what? Right?
Absolutely no. Not. How disrespectful is that? You know what I mean? How disrespectful is that? So, Tay, I give you the floor, but that's just my take on it a little bit there.
Well, you know, my first thought is, why does she need to know? I tell people, and I actually had taught a spiritual development class one time, and we were talking about, you know, assessing your circle, assessing your friends. I said, when it comes to my associations with people, I ask myself two questions. The first question I ask myself is, what is their purpose in knowing me? Why do they want to establish a relationship with me, a friendship with me? What's their motive? That's what I say. What's their motive for wanting to know me, for wanting to establish a relationship with me? The second question I ask myself is, what is my purpose for wanting to establish a relationship with them? Because if you're going to be in my circle of friends or acquaintance or, you know, things like that, there has to be a solid purpose for me to acquaint myself with you. And also, I need to know and make sure that you don't have an underlying motive for wanting to get acquainted and establish a relationship with me, meaning a motive, especially that's going to hurt me. So when I read this, Yvonne, that was my first thought. What is she up to? And I know we talked about this, I believe, on the last episode, or maybe the episode before, where I was very clear in saying, you know, the longevity of a relationship, of a friendship, does not equate to loyalty. There are some people that have been a snake since the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it just takes a while for people to see that. Now, there's some people that are truly loyal after 15 years of friendship. But there are some people that are snakes. They have had jealousy. They have had envy since the very beginning. And a lot of times they keep themselves attached to you so they can get information to spread about you.
Yeah.
So that would be the first thing, fan, that I would ask myself. I would start to reassess that relationship. And sometimes, I mean, I don't mean go and, you know, and grill your friend, like, what do you need to know? And are you truly a friend? No, I wouldn't say that, but I would say start paying attention. There's probably some behaviors and some things that you're overlooking because you've known her for so long that you probably shouldn't be overlooking. Because
I'm pretty sure there's some smart innuendos that she's probably thrown out there. Conversation that she hasn't paid attention to. Yeah.
If your friend's motives are not pure, that's what I'm trying to say. If this friend is not truly a friend, there are some things, some signs that she has shown you in the past 15 years to reveal her true motives, to reveal her true identity. And her true identity is not that of your friend. Now, she could just be a nosy friend. You know, she could be a loyal friend.
Need to be set. Yep.
Yeah. And like Yvonne said, that's where you need to establish the boundaries. But when you're starting to pry into people's personal lives, that is a red flag for me. Because as Yvonne said, now, if I choose to share that with you, that's one thing. But if you're just prying for information, that's a red flag for me, especially that type of personal information. Why do you need to know who I'm sleeping with?
Yeah.
Do you have some type of attraction to me that I need to know about? You know what I mean? Well, because then that's That's another issue. Is this a male? Did she say she's a female friend? I didn't see that part,
It
Yvonne.
didn't say. It just said, I have a long-time friend.
No, I do
Well, she
not
said
want to explain to
she's
her.
very
Yes.
curious. Yeah.
Yeah. So, does she have some type of lesbian tendencies? I mean, it could be that. Or it could be that she has ulterior motives. And the scripture, and I really want to try to leave a scripture with everyone that we touched on tonight. Let me see, Holy Spirit, give me one to leave her. I want to go to the book of Proverbs.
Oh, the Book of Wisdom.
Yes, I love the book of
My
Proverbs.
pastor is preaching on the Book of Proverbs right now.
All right, let's leave her with, I'll leave you with this one, fan. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. It says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. It's time to reassess that friendship. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm gonna leave it at that. It's time to reassess that friendship.
Yes.
Just to make sure you don't, just make sure you don't have a rattlesnake in your circle. All right, let's go on to the next one. Let me see if I could touch on some other stuff. Oh, all right, here we go. Estelle, this is one
Estelle.
that we got from
Hello,
you.
Estelle.
I love that name. I'm looking for advice. My boyfriend and I are abstaining from sex until marriage. Good for you. And to be honest, it's getting pretty hard to wait. Uh-oh. We are both trying our best. Is anybody else going through this? I'm just looking for ways to stay occupied, etc. So, Estelle, Yvonne and I are both married, so we don't have that issue anymore.
Well, if
But
we're honest.
I was gonna say there's that, but we have to be honest because again, this is 100% real, raw, and uncut. That's how we roll. We're not selling no dreams, no lies, nothing like that. That's not what we're gonna be doing on this podcast. So we have to be honest in saying that before we were married, we were not abstaining from anything. As a matter of fact, we were dabbling in probably it all.
Wait.
And
All is
wait.
very broad.
I didn't say with everyone.
No, you said all. All very
But
broad.
okay, let me define all for my
Thank
sister
you.
before she has a heart attack on this
Please.
podcast. By all, I mean that we weren't taking breaks here and there to be try to be abstinent. We just was not abstinent. Because there are
There we
some
go.
women that, they do try and then they I don't want to say fail, but they fall to temptation and
Yeah.
then they try again. And it's just like trying to quit smoking, or trying to quit a habit. And sex can become a habit.
And
So
that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
so I get that. But no, we weren't, we didn't try to do nothing. We were just not doing the right thing. So to answer your question, no, we're not going through this, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that are listening to this that are, and some may be like us, and they're just like, I'll just talk to Jesus about that when I get to heaven. They better be repenting because we had to repent too. Just because we, did it before didn't mean that we didn't repent
Yeah, my
because we
sister
did.
gave me reflection today, told me I need to repent about some stuff. I said, didn't I say all that cover all my sins? I said, because I gotta go do some repenting. But
But as far as it being hard to wait, I get that. I don't know how long you guys are looking to court. You and your boyfriend are looking to court before getting married. Maybe try to get married tomorrow. I don't know. But okay, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Don't get married tomorrow.
okay,
Don't get.
listen, Estelle, listen to me, please. Okay, listen to me. Okay. Maybe to make things a little easier, when I don't know, it doesn't say, are they living together? It doesn't say.
She didn't
Okay.
say they're living
It doesn't.
together.
Okay, so if you're not living together, have less moments of alone time together for like intimate moments, because you don't want to feed the craving that is there. Yes, have some alone time, walking in the park, things like that, out to dinners, but when it comes to being in, like maybe in each other's apartments and it's getting late, if someone's drinking wine, try to eliminate some of those things that make you weak. Just like, an alcoholic who's trying to, quit drinking. I'm just going to use it because I've had my issues. The thing is to eliminate the temptation. So the less intimate moments, that's not saying that you guys can't do, you're kissing and all that stuff and hugging, but if being alone triggers that and it gets both of you riled up, maybe if you're going to have moments that you're, at the apartment or his space or yours, have friends over, have game nights, the wherefore you guys are still having fun together, but because there's other people around, the sexual temptation isn't there. So just kind of include like a buffer, in between, when it gets to like those intimate moments that make you nervous. And that's because I have not abstained, but that's the only, positive advice that I can give you. Because, like I said, if once you start eliminating some of the temptations, I mean, you're a grown woman. We all have our desires and our for our mates because we love them and we want to be with them. But if your desire is to abstain till marriage, create that buffer. Have your intimate moments outside of the home. But then when it gets to, like I said, visiting each other, especially, if that it's there, create a buffer, have a friend with you or something like that, just so you can have the distraction.
So I jokingly say get married tomorrow, but I
I
actually have
know.
scripture, but I actually have scripture to back that up. Okay. So the Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. No, because there's two scriptures I want to share regarding this. I love all that advice you just gave because that is the natural advice, right? Do not put ourselves in a path of temptation. That's how we can. The Bible says when we're tempted, he will provide a way of escape. That is how we can prevent, when, like you said, I love how you said that, Eva, us from being tempted from falling into anything, not just, sexual immorality and, fornication, things like that, but alcohol, drugs, things of that nature as well. But the scripture that I want to share actually is in the book of 1 Corinthians. It's a great book, chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. It says, actually, that's not the one. I'm sorry. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. It says, flee from sexual immorality. For other sin a person commits is outside the body. Oh, every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. I find that interesting. I'm going to read that one more time. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. I feel like that's a very powerful scripture because what the Lord is trying to tell us in that scripture is that sex is more than just sex. Yvonne, you and I were talking about this earlier. And we will not go into the details that we were going into earlier,
Definitely not.
but we were talking about pretty much, the difference in intimacy with our husbands versus when we were just being intimate when we were like we just shared before we were married. When we were intimate before we were married, and it's not that we were just sleeping around with anybody, we had boyfriends, right? But the feelings were different than the intimacies that we have now with our husbands. Now there's it's more than just that physical action that's going on. It's almost like our bodies are truly intertwining and becoming one. There's a sharing of the spirit. There's a sharing of,
It's very spiritual.
so many other things. And I want to talk about this on one of the podcasts because sex is actually an act of worship. God created sexual intimacy to be an act of worship to him, not to one another between husband and wife, but it's an act of worship unto him. So we're going to talk about that because I don't want to get into the depth of that now, but I want you to keep that in the back of your mind that that's the reason why when we have, sex with our husbands, the feeling is different. And once you do wed, you will see what we're talking about. Even if it's, you're wedding the same guy that you're probably, you're sleeping with or whatever. Now he's your boyfriend or fiance or whatnot. And I find it interesting that you called him your boyfriend too. So you didn't call him your fiance. So when you said you're courting to be married, it's like, okay, but where are you guys at in that? Has he even popped a question? Because if he hasn't even popped a question, you guys are not engaged. Marriage might be a little bit further down the road than you think. So if you're talking about how long, how do we wait? You want to think about that too. That's just something you want to consider. But
That's good.
the intimacy is just different. And you'll see that once you are married. The second scripture I want to share is 1 Corinthians 7, chapter 7, verse 2. And this is where I said, if you need to get married tomorrow, do that because this is what the scripture says. It says, because of the temptation of sexual immorality, there, before I even go any further, the Lord knows that we're going to be tempted. We have a sin nature in us. We have a lustful nature in us. So he knows that we're going to be tempted to have sex outside of marriage, even though he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, that it's a sin being committed against our own body. He knows we're still going to be tempted to do it. The scripture goes on to say, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. It's not, there should be no reason if you're wanting to get married, if you're sure this is the person you should be marrying, why you should be waiting to get married. You know what I mean? Don't put yourself in a space of temptation that you don't need to be in if ultimately you know this is the person you're going to marry. And I speak that from experience because for just to give you guys a little bit of my testimony, I think I said this on one of the past episodes, my husband and I, just like Yvonne and her husband, we were together for dating, courting, whatever you want to call it, for 10 years before we got married.
Yes, me
It
too.
was a scripture, or not a scripture, but it was a sermon that I had heard from my bishop that caused me to really like acknowledge the fact that this is the man that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. Why am I waiting? Why am I steadily sitting in this sin? You know what I mean? When I know this is the man that I want to spend the rest of my life with. So we just made it happen. I mean, obviously, I didn't propose to him. He eventually, the Lord revealed it to him that I was the woman that he was supposed to, make his
And
wife.
then he revealed it to me.
Oh,
Okay.
Lord, this
He
girl.
told me, and I was like,
Yes. And he popped a
oh my God,
question, and we moved, I don't want to say, rather rapidly, but we didn't wait 10, 15 years down the road to get married, not even 5 years down the road to get married after he proposed. We made it
Yeah.
happen. Did we wait till we had the money to have some big extravagant wedding? No. We had a small intimate wedding with our close family and friends, and it was the most beautiful day of my life. So I jokingly say, go get married tomorrow. But even like our one sister, Yvonne, I know your story. You guys had a small intimate wedding, beautiful wedding.
Yeah, we had a very small wedding. I wanted it smaller, but he invited a little bit more. I wanted 30, and we made it to 50. Yeah, because with us, it was kind of the same way, but we were engaged for a long time though. I remember when he proposed, it was a while before we even got married. That's because we had stuff we had to work through before, we wanted to say I do. And then we got married in December of 2007, and we wanted just the people who loved us, who's been around us, who knew our journey, and who was celebrating with us. You know, we just wanted that. And we did. We had like close family, close friends who celebrated with us with the love we had. And we ate fried chicken and macaroni and cheese in the dark. Yeah, the power went out. It was insane. But you know, that's something that we will always remember because we made it about us. And I feel like we've made it this long because of the way that we had our wedding, where the focus was on us and not everybody else. Because we loved us and we wanted to celebrate with the people who loved us, that knew us for so many years, like they're finally getting married. Like it was just, I wouldn't trade that day for anything. I really wouldn't trade that day for anything because it was just pure love. It was just pure love. So yeah, so Estelle, we just gave you know, some couple examples to show that, you know, if you want to get married and your boyfriend has proposed or whatever, we're not clear here. It just says boyfriend, but then you said you're what y'all are waiting until marriage. So yeah, maybe y'all have had that conversation that you will get married, but we've just gave you a couple of examples to where you can have the most beautiful, intimate wedding of your dreams, not everybody else's, but of your dreams with the man that you want to be with and start living your life, you know, with your husband, you know, and just start creating a beautiful memory. So Estelle, we'll be praying for you. Believe me, we know how hard it is to abstain from sex, especially if you've had sex before.
I know
So
that part right there. That part right there. Just go
so
to two different states until y'all get married, and y'all should be okay.
had sex before, you're like, no. But you know what? You're trying to do it God's way, so I commend you.
Amen. And he honors that too.
And he honors it. Yes, he's honoring it. And here you haven't put that he's pressuring you into it. You're saying that y'all are getting weak. So it's both of y'all are getting weak together.
So just go to the courthouse, girl. Just go to your local courthouse. If y'all ready to be married, just go get it done and then make a baby that same night. I don't know. But okay, we're praying for
And
you.
have the
So,
big wedding later. You know what I mean? Maybe
right.
that.
But yeah,
So
just to get
yeah.
out of this that fornication or fornication. So we got time for one more, Yvonne. I don't know. I
Ooh.
really want to do
No, no,
this
no, no, no.
one.
You pick this one. I'm picking somebody else. You pick Estelle.
You picked Estelle. Oh,
No.
no, you're right. Okay, Ladies is like Christ Saint Diva, you picked Estelle. Okay, so
I'm
Yvonne,
like, see,
go
you guys, this is what I've been going through all my life. She's like, no, it's me. It's me. Like, no, it's not you.
Okay, go ahead.
So, okay, one more. So this one is anonymous. She says to all my married ladies,
That's the one I
short.
was gonna pick.
I've been looking
Okay,
at
go
this one.
ahead.
I'm like, we really need to talk about this before we get off of
And
this one.
I just got my way. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay, go
You know
ahead.
what? And she's always been a brat that way. But anyway, so to all the married ladies, what does respecting your husband look like to you? Things you do, say, give, etc. To be surrendered and respectful without feeling like a doormat and a second-class citizen. Thanks. So she's
Okay, let me
anonymous.
at least respond to this one first because
Yeah, you got this one.
I did actually respond to this one offline.
Okay.
And I referred it to listen to episode number one of our podcast.
Okay.
But I told her, I said, this question is too loaded. I feel like Yvonne, for if she's looking for a simple answer, I said it's too loaded for that. Because respecting my husband, it looks like a multitude of things, right? It's not just one thing. And then to say, well, how do you surrender and be respectful without feeling like a doormat and a second-class citizen? I told her, I said, I said what you said. I've learned how to pick my battles. I learned how to be humble and realize that I don't always have to have the last word. But I use discernment. I allow the Holy Spirit to lead me, because if there are some things that need to be communicated, need to be said, I ask the Holy Spirit to help me deliver that. But like I said in that using that First Corinthians scripture, help me deliver that in love, Holy Spirit. Help me deliver it Even if I'm a little afraid to deliver it, even if my voice trembles, you know what I mean? Because I don't know how he's going to respond. Not saying he's going to lash out and hit me or anything like that, but I don't want it obviously to result in an argument. I want him to hear what I'm saying. So, help me deliver it, even if it may be a hard thing for me to deliver. It really is a combination of a lot of things. It's not. And I believe, Yvonne, it really starts with learning your partner, learning the triggers, knowing, what kind of what gauges his attention and what sets him off. It's about knowing yourself, knowing what triggers you, what sets you off, knowing your areas of weaknesses as far as communications go, how you communicate goes. It's about even how are you both dealing with past relationships? Have you dealt with those past relationships? Are you bringing baggage from past relationships into your current relationship, and now you're treating the partner like you treat, your ex or whatnot because you haven't dealt with that emotional hurt and pain? You know what I mean? So it really is it's a loaded question, and it's a combination of things. But if I had to summarize it, I said it would start respecting my husband, would start by doing more listening, being less reactive, and just knowing him, taking time to know him, taking time to learn him. I said in one of the episodes, our episodes, Yvonne, that I had to learn my husband's nonverbal cues. I had to learn what he wasn't saying. No, I'm not expecting you, Anonymous, to be a mind reader, but depending on how long you and your husband have been together, you know him better than anybody else in this world. You know him better than his mama. You know him better than his siblings because you've had pillow talk with him. You lay down with him every night. You wake up with him every morning. Y'all are living together. I'm sure you're married. You know what I mean? You've seen each other in all the worst ways, bad breath, bad hair, all that stuff. So you know your husband. Pay attention to those nonverbal cues. Pay attention to the things that he's not saying. And then ultimately, if you're struggling in that area, pray. I'm a huge advocate for prayer,
Yeah,
ladies.
and I pray for my
Prayer
husband.
truly changes me. I know people
Yeah.
say prayer changes things. I say prayer changes me. Prayer has
Yeah.
truly changed my heart. It has truly changed my approach with not just my husband, but with other people. Because instead of, me asking God to shine a spotlight on them and show me their flaws, I ask God, shine the spotlight on me. Show me my flaws. Show me where I can get better. Show me how I can love better. Show me how I can be more compassionate. Show me how I can be a better listener. And it just truly has changed my life, and it has changed my marriage.
That's good. I just want to add from it was last episode about the money management. And I remember the passage from the study of Bible where it says, an honorable Christian husband will not take advantage of his role as the leader. So, and the reason why I put this out here is she said to be surrendered and respectful without feeling like a doormat and a second class citizen. If your husband, is the true leader that God wants him to be, you should be able to come to him, in a respectable manner, because we don't come to our husband sideways and get cross. We shouldn't, because, like we said, that combative spirit needs to go away. But you should be able to express yourself, and your husband should not make you feel like a doormat, if that is the case. And I know this is like multi-layers, but respecting for me is being loving, being patient. It falls into kind of like the actions in Corinthians that you have said earlier. Sometimes with husbands, with men, they're visual, so they like to see, your actions show how, you love them. Thinking of like the little things that he likes, that you remember to pick up. Having his, and these are just like little things. Like I said, it's multifaceted. So like having
Yeah, it is.
his plate ready when he gets home, if he worked a long day and you've cooked dinner and you already have his plate ready. That shows respect because how it looks, you're understanding that he's had a long day. And when he comes in, just by his actions, that he's exhausted. He knows he's gonna have something warm to eat when he gets home. Ladies, you don't understand how comforting that is to a man to be able to come home and have something to eat after a long day. Or give him his space when, his shows are on and he just wants to just zone out, just like us ladies do. Instead of being all in his face all the time, give him his moment when he comes home from work, before we start dumping all of our day on him. I know I still have that thing because my husband's gone 12 hours a day, so the first thing when I go to him, my face still lights up like my husband's home, and then he's like, babe, I just need a minute. Excuse me, you guys, I've had a cold this past couple days. But just those things, it shows love, it shows respect, and trust. Trust is right up there. If you trust your husband, and that should spill over into respect. That means you're going to watch how, your words and how you speak to them. Not to say that we're perfect, because, we already talked about how arguments tend to get out of hand sometimes and we don't speak. We're human. But, apologize when you're wrong. Come to the table how to fix things. It's just those kind of things that I've learned through myself of how some of the things that I had to change about what I was doing for my husband to be able to receive me. So this is why I'm able to speak on such things, by the way that I communicated with him. So it's just a lot of things. And me and my sister kind of talked about it today, whereas with us women, we kind of know, those strings to push and those words to say,
Yeah, we
to
do.
break down and be destructive and be disrespectful and be manipulating. We know how to do those things. So what I say is, watch your words. And it's just as simple as, treat your husband as you want him to treat you. It sometimes it's as simple as that. If you want to your husband to receive you a certain way, do the same for him. At the end of the day, it's still a partnership. It's just not you showing respect too, but it's also him also giving it back to you. So that's kind of what I got.
I mean, I think you broke that down very well, and then you also provided examples of, things that you've utilized in your own relationship and why you utilize those things and how they've worked out. So, yeah, that one was a loaded one. Like I said,
Because like I said,
I
if
had
your
to.
husband is a Because like I say, if your husband's a true, like if he's shown you that he's a true leader, there shouldn't be any doubt about respect. You know what I mean? There shouldn't be, you trust him. You respect the way if he's going to lead you to a certain point. He's not going to lead you astray. He stands up to you, with certain, I'm not saying these are her issues, but when it comes to certain family members, he has your back. You know what I mean? And so that is like, what do they call it when, admiration for your husband because he set that example. You admire him. You love him. You want to give him that respect. He's earned it. So, yeah. So.
Yeah, and as Yvonne said, just like we as women know, what those triggers are, what
Yeah,
buttons to
we do.
push, we also, like I said, know our husbands, and that's why I said to you, Anonymous, you have pillow talk with him. You spend the nights, the mornings, the days, the years. I don't know how long you guys have been together, but you know your husband better than anybody. So just like you may know those triggers, like if your voice gets loud, or if if you get silent, or if you withhold sex when you guys argue, which you shouldn't be doing, because that's not the Bible. God don't like that. We shouldn't be doing that. But you know your husband. So when you ask the question about what does respecting your husband look like to us, the question should be, what does respecting your husband look like to you? Because that's your husband. You, the only person that is married to that man is you. So just think about that. If you need to learn your husband to respect him in the way that he needs to be respected, pray about that. And the Holy Spirit will reveal the areas where you need
And no husband should be
woman
treated
up.
like a doormat or a second-class
Yeah.
citizen. I'm sorry.
And that's the other thing I wanted to address really quick, Yvonne, before we wrap this up. When you say, how do you surrender and be respectful without feeling like a doormat or a second-class citizen? Without knowing the situation, that question can be twofold, right? So on one side of it, is your husband taking advantage of your submissiveness? And if so, you need to know, you have to set that standard as his wife, that this is the way I need you to love me. And sometimes, ladies, we need to tell our husbands how they need to love us, instead of thinking that they just know, how to love us. No, this is how I need you to love me. This is what I need you to do for me. But on the other side of it, and I definitely don't want to get into this because we don't have the time for it, but on the other side of it, we have this culture in the society
Oh my
that,
God, why are you gonna
yeah,
do
you
this?
already know where I'm going with this, where women think, you know what I mean, that they don't really have to be submissive. And, submissive is a bad, let me rephrase, women that are wives think they don't have to be submissive. And being submissive is, allowing their husband to treat them like a doormat and think that is not what the Bible
That's
says
not what the word
submissiveness is.
says.
So as a wife, we were created, Eve was created to be a helpmate to her husband. That's what submissiveness means. It
How are these
means
people will read the
you,
word instead of putting all this crazy crap out here?
yeah,
Because then they'll
this
get
is
the
the,
truth.
and that's why we got this Make and Last Forever Christian podcast and relationship podcast, because it's ridiculous. It's absolutely foolishness, as
I
my
hear it
bishop
all the
would say.
time, and it is
Yeah.
foolishness.
No, we are submissive to be a helpmate to our husband. Like Yvonne said in one of the last podcasts, when you get weak, you tag me in. I got your back. You know what I'm saying? That's what submissiveness means. It does not mean that I allow my husband to treat me any old kind of way. It doesn't mean that when people come over, company comes over, I just go in the bedroom. And now, do I be all up in his friend's face and stuff like that? Absolutely not. Out of respect for my husband, if he just having, a fellas time or whatever, and they ain't got their wives or whatever, I'll go do something else, because I don't need to be around a bunch of men unless it's my brothers or something like that. I don't need to be, even if it is my brothers. If he's hanging out with the fellas, I'll go do something else. That's also giving him his respect.
He's
You know
giving
what I
his
mean?
guy
It is,
time.
yeah, it's giving him his time. But is he telling me go sit in the room until my friends leave? No, he lost his mind. He think he gonna tell me that, because he already know I ain't the one. He don't tell me to go sit on nowhere. I ain't your child. But anyway.
Submissiveness because we're gonna get we're gonna set her off.
Yes. But it, like I said, it's kind of a double, it's a double topic conversation, because again, without knowing your situation, is your husband what a, on the verge of being Ike Turner? Or is it that, is it that society has,
Gotten
brainwashed
to
you per
you.
se? Yeah, into thinking that submissiveness to your
Is a
husband means
weakness.
that, yeah, is a, I love that, is a weakness. So we gonna get come back to that. Anonymous, stay tuned. Come back. We got something for you. I'm gonna reach out to you too and let you know when we drop this podcast that speaks directly to what submissiveness truly means. But Yvonne, we have gone way over our time, but I really enjoyed this segment. This
I did too.
this keeping it 100 grown women Q&A segment. I really, really enjoy this. And ladies, again, be watching out for the next segment. We're not going to do it, chronologically. Next week, we already kind of gave you guys a sneak peek on what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about dating versus courting. Is it the same thing? The answer is It's all up
No,
to interpretation.
I'm not even about to start with you. Absolutely not, Jelena. We went through this. We talked for 2 hours yesterday talking about this thing,
Trying
and
to hash this thing out. But it's going to be great. And you don't want to miss it. Make sure you come back next week because I'm telling you, you're going to be blessed by next week's message.
Amen. Amen. It's yes.
Yeah, so Yvonne, anything else we want to leave before we wrap this thing up?
No, you guys be blessed. Just stay encouraged. We know the state of the world and everything is in right now, but stay encouraged, stay prayed up, keep God first, stay in the word, stay in the word. I say that because the enemy is on the prowl. We all know, the enemy's on the prowl. And what Bishop was saying tonight, there's levels to this thing. And he said, every time you level up, you're going to meet you a different devil. So stay in the word so you'll be able to fight. Because, we already know he's coming, So just stay in the word, you
Amen.
guys.
Amen. We're going to go ahead and do what we do and let us pray out. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time. Father, we thank you for the women and their questions, Father, and just the things that they have shared in regard to dating, in regard to marriage, Father. I pray that something was said on this podcast, not just for the women who had the questions or had the concerns, but for those that are going to listen to this podcast, Father God, I pray there was something said that truly will bless their situation, Lord, and bring these women closer to you, Father. Father, I just thank you for my sister Yvonne and all that you're doing in her life, in the different experiences that she has gone through that she's able to bring to this podcast and share with other women so that hopefully they don't have to go through the same trials and tribulations that she had to go through, Father God, that they're able to leverage her wisdom, Father God, to maneuver the different traps that the enemy will set to try to ensnare them and get them to walk away from their marriage, Father. So just cover us as we go through this week. And we thank you and we give you all the praise until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You guys have an amazing night.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.